Well, this evening, as we come back to our ongoing series in the Psalms, I ask that you turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 84. Psalm 84, and follow with me, please, as I read the entire Psalm, Psalm 84, page 678 in the Pew Bible. Psalm 84. The psalmist writes, "How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you." Now, before we come to the word of God for this evening, dear brethren, let's once again pray and ask the Lord's blessings upon our time. Let's pray. O Lord of hosts, how we bless you this name. We thank you, O God, for the promise, Lord Jesus, that where two or three are gathered in your name, you are there in their midst. And we thank you, Lord, for the lovely fact that you do dwell with your people corporately. Lord, that you do gather with us to strengthen and edify us and to build us up in our most holy faith. And we thank you, O God, for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That church, O Savior, that you purchased on Calvary's hill by shedding your blood for her. And we thank you, O God, that you've called us to gather locally all throughout the world. We thank you, Lord, not only for the local church, but for the church universal, the bride of Christ, your glorious people. And we thank you, Lord, that this night we can come and worship you, that we can give our heart's affections to you, the true and living God. And Father, we pray then as we come to your word tonight that you would give us clarity of thought and mind. O God, that you would drive away the tiredness of the day and give us insight to the truth of your word. Lord, that you would illuminate it. Help us to understand its truth. Give us, Lord, what we don't have natively in ourselves. Send the Spirit, then, we pray, to quicken us and to fill us from on high. Speak to us, we pray, O God, from your own holy and blessed word. We ask it all through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The statistics are in, and they are very bleak. All around us, the so-called experts are predicting that both in America and abroad, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ will suffer great decline in her membership over the following years. Today, we're told by some that the church is passé, that is to say, she is out of date, no longer relevant for our postmodern society, and therefore people will no longer join her ranks. All around, we're seeing that, by and large, people are down on the church. In many places, churches are closing. Young people are leaving congregations at an alarming rate, and the older crowd is dying off. Well, to be sure, these things are a cause for great concern, and yet, at the same time, we could thank our God that there is also a growing love and interest for the Church of Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, today we are seeing in various quarters of the world churches popping up where we might never think that a true biblical church could exist there. Today we're even seeing in many places a renewed interest in pure biblical and reformed doctrine. And indeed, this is a source for great encouragement. Yes, friends, although there might be many who despise the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, we can bless our God that according to our Lord's own words in Matthew 16 and verse 18, He will build His church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Brethren, the true people of God will always love the house of God and nothing will be able to tear them from it. Here is where they are blessed. Here is where they are strengthened. And here is where they meet with their God like no other place. And so this place, above all others, is the place that they love the most. Well, this evening, then, we come to consider the words of an individual who felt exactly this way. This individual, who was one of the sons of Korah, viewed the house of God as the greatest place in all the world, even though his father Korah was cut off from the people of God by death because of his rebellion, this son nonetheless still loved being with God's people. This son loved God's worship. It was his favorite thing. He had a great esteem for God's house, and this is seen throughout the entirety of this psalm. Now, although it would be great to preach this entire psalm this evening, that is not my plan. This evening, my intention only is to focus specifically on verse 10. While no doubt this is a great psalm in its whole, verse 10 is a true pearl indeed. Here we have this son of Korah expressing words about God's house that I trust will resonate with every true child of God here this evening. Here, while apparently far from the courts of God, for some unspecified reason, the writer expresses words that I trust will both challenge us and edify us as the people of God. As we come then to our verse for this evening, I ask you to consider with me first the emphatic statement of the psalmist in 10a. The emphatic statement. Note the words again. He says to God, Psalm 84, 10a, "For a day in your courts is better than a thousand." Well, what a great statement of comparison is made here by the psalmist. Here the psalmist compares and contrasts one day in God's house with a thousand elsewhere, and he tells us that there is absolutely no comparison. Now, it's interesting to see here how the psalmist says, for a day in God's courts is better than a thousand. I mean, he doesn't say for a week or a month or a year, but a single day is better. He says just one single Sabbath day period in God's house is better than a thousand elsewhere. Well, clearly, friends, the psalmist has not embraced the negative view of the church that many have in the day that we live in. Quite plainly, he's very hip on the church, if you will. You see, friends, it's clear from these words that he highly values this place so much so that no other place is on the same par. Brethren, the psalmist is not down on the local gathering of God's people. No, he loves it. He absolutely loves it. Now we might ask the question, why is this? Why is it that the psalmist says just one day in God's courts, in God's special presence, is better than a thousand somewhere else? Well, friends, quite plainly, it was because the gathering of God's people is the place where God comes and meets with them in a special way and greatly blesses them. This, brethren, is at the heart of all that the psalmist is expressing here. While in fact, it's true, we can say that a day in God's courts is better than a thousand somewhere else, because in the courts of God, we fellowship with His people and we also partake of the ordinances. Yes, it's all true. However, church, at the top of the list The reason why the psalmist loved God's house so much was because God dwelt in the midst of his people. Brethren, week in and week out, on the Lord's Day, our God meets with us as we gather together corporately to praise his name. According to Ephesians 2, verses 19 to 22, the church is the dwelling place of the Lord in the Spirit. And of course, as we know in Revelation chapter 2, the Lord Jesus Christ himself walks among his people when they gather together. Well, friends, I ask you then this evening, aren't these glorious realities? Aren't they? Aren't they precious rubies? These are the true treasures that the people of God delight in most in their lives. Well, this is why the psalmist makes this emphatic statement here in 10a. This is why he says what he says about being in God's house above all other places. It was because when he gathered in the tabernacle, there God met with him and God greatly blessed him. God dwelt among his people. And he says, although I'm not able to be there now, one day there is better than 1,000 everywhere else. Now the psalmist makes this plain in verse 2. Note it again with me when he says, my soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Oh, brethren, do you get a sense for what's going on in the heart of the psalmist here? He has a deep longing, yes, a deep yearning in his soul to be in the courts of his God. And the reason is because that's where the living God dwelt. The living God was in the midst of his people. And therefore the psalmist knew that whenever he would be there with them, he would be blessed. He knew that he would be sanctified. He knew that he would be strengthened. He knew that he would flourish like a palm tree, even in old age. Psalm 92. Now, friends, this great desire of the psalmist to be in the special dwelling place of God is not just something that is limited to him. No, all of the true people of God desire to be in the courts of the Lord. And this is expressed by the godly in many places throughout the Psalms. For example, we see this in Psalm 26 in verse 8. Just note the reference. Psalm 26 in verse 8, where the psalmist says, Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. He doesn't say, I just merely liked it or it was okay for me. No, he says, I have loved it. I have loved this place, O God. It's your house. It's the place where your glory dwells. Also, in Psalm 27, in verse 4, the psalmist could say, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Why? To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Again, we see the heart here of the true believer, the true Israelite in whom there is no guile, the one who worships the living God through Christ, the Messiah. These people love God. They love to behold his beauty in his house and to inquire in his temple. And then just another reference, Psalm 122 in verse 1. There the psalmist could say, I was glad. Not discouraged, not burdened, but I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Here's the picture of the true Christian. Here's the picture of the true believer. As I said, these are the expressions of the godly, those who have the Spirit of truth dwelling within them. This is what all of the true people of God can affirm, saying yes and amen. Because God by the Spirit dwells among them when they gather believers can say with firm conviction, for a day in God's courts is better than 1,000 outside. Amen? They can say for a day in God's courts is happier and more profitable than anywhere else. Well, I ask you then this evening, who name the name of Christ, is this your heart towards the church of Jesus Christ? I ask you, is the gathering of God's people your favorite place to be in all the world? Is this the place that your soul longs for, yes, even faints for? I ask you, dear Christian, here this night, can you say with the hymn writer of old, I love thy kingdom, Lord, the house of thine abode. Can you say this of a truth? Can you say it by God's grace? Friends, I believe we need to examine our hearts at this point. You know, it's amazing to me that you can meet people who name the name of Christ, and yet to get them to church is such a hard thing. It's funny. Doesn't seem like it was a hard thing to do for these as far as their desire. There are some who name the name of Christ who will give all their best energies to everything else. But when it comes to being in God's house, oh, now that is too difficult. Pastor Jack and I run often into the trouble when people say, you meet how many times on the Lord's Day? And you expect that your people would come out all day on Sunday? Wow. We expect? No, we would think, rather, that those who are in a good spiritual state want to be where God is. But maybe we're too idealistic. Maybe we are. Friends, this shouldn't be the case. The true Christian should love the house of God. The place where Christ is preached and His word is proclaimed and the ordinances are given and God's people are gathering around to fellowship together. Why wouldn't someone who's in a good spiritual state want to be in such a place? I have no idea. So I ask you this evening again, what about you? Where's your heart at? Where's my heart at? I ask, dear brother, dear sister, is the church on the top of your list? It was for the psalmist. Young people, you who often wrestle with the question, if you're a Christian or not, here's a good question to ask to see where you're at spiritually. Do you love God's house? Do you love the worship of Jesus? Do you love to sing His praise and magnify His grace? Is this the best place on earth for you? Sometimes Christians can have their priorities messed up. It's true. Sometimes we're backwards in our thinking. Sometimes we can lose sight of that which is best for us and get sidetracked by worldly things, and this we do to our own spiritual hurt, brethren. Well, friends, if this is us this night, we need to get back on track. Tonight, if we've gone astray in our hearts and affections for the place of God's special dwelling among His people, we need to ask God to forgive us. It's amazing how you could have the church full in the morning, but at night, there's so few people. As one man said in the morning service, you have the visible church attending. At night, you have the invisible church attending. Because there's so few believers. But brethren, these things ought not to be so. The psalmist had it right. A day in God's courts is better than 1,000 outside. It really is. Well, having seen then his emphatic statement in 10a, consider with me, secondly, then for this evening and finally, his earnest conviction in 10b, his earnest conviction. Having told us his heart's disposition, notice with me what he says next. He writes, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of iniquity. Interesting statement. Now, I've entitled the second part of this verse, The Earnest Conviction of the Psalmist, because his words are really quite strong in the original. Literally says, I would prefer, or I would choose to be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of iniquity. So what's his point? Well, it's this, that for the psalmist, who himself most likely was a gatekeeper in the tabernacle, as 1 Chronicles chapter 9 tells us the sons of Korah were, for him, for the psalmist, he would rather stand at the threshold of God's house, that is the very entrance of it, than to be among the ungodly. Here is the psalmist writes these words, being deprived from the tabernacle for some reason, and no doubt having all ungodly people around him to tempt him to come and dwell in their tents. He says, I would rather be found doing my lowly position in the house of God than to be with those who are not saved. What a conviction. What a conviction. And again, it shows us where his heart was. The psalmist here shows us that for him, even the most lowliest place in God's house was better than being with those who were in the world. And so it was. So it is. As Spurgeon rightly says, God's worst is better than the devil's best. It's true. Spurgeon says, quote, to bear burdens and open doors for the Lord is more honorable than to reign among the wicked. Do you agree with the psalmist tonight, my dear brother? My dear sister? Do you view the smallest measures of God's blessings as that which is to be preferred above what wicked men and women can give you? Do you say that you would rather just stand on the outside of the door, just open it up and barely get to hear the things being preached, than to be dwelling with the ungodly? Well, church, this should be our disposition. And the reason for this is because the tents of wickedness will be a great snare to us. God does not dwell in the tents of wickedness. No. God dwells with his people. The tents of wickedness will be ruin for us, brethren, if we dwell there too long. Church, I say that like Moses of old, we must esteem the reproaches of Christ greater riches than all the treasures in Egypt. My dear friends, what the world offers us is short-lived. But what God offers us is eternal. And what's so amazing is that as Christians, we're not called just to be doorkeepers, to be those who are outside and opening the doors for others. No, God invites us in. He says, because of Christ, come and dwell with my people. He says, because of Christ, you can enter into the very holy of holies. Then why would we dwell in the tents of wickedness? Why would we allow the things of this world to draw our hearts away from the things of God? The psalmist says, I'd rather be there than there any day. How about you this night? As I said, what God offers us, brethren, is eternal. He offers us himself. He offers us communion with Christ. He offers us daily pardon of our sins. And he offers us eternity with him when we die. Can the world offer you that? No, my friends. In the tents of wickedness, there is sin. There is shame. There is disgust. But not in God's house. God's house, it is a beautiful thing. And therefore, as the people of God, we must avoid the dwellings of the ungodly, lest we be consumed. Well, may God help us then to adopt the disposition of the psalmist. May it never be, brethren, that we forget that hell and misery are in the midst of the unrighteous. But in the presence of God, there are pleasures evermore. Well, as I close this evening, I want to make one application for those who are Christians and one application for those who are not Christians. Firstly, then, for those of you here this night who are not Christians, my dear friend here this evening, whether you realize it or not, because you are not a true Christian, you are dwelling in the tents of iniquity. You, my friend, are not a worshiper of the true God. And your heart, above all places on the earth, is a cesspool of filth and a cesspool of rebellion to the living God. And my friends, that's where you'll stay unless God changes you. You see, the psalmist here says, "For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. How did he get to that place in his life where he says, "I'd rather be among God's people praising the Lord than being out there with the world"? How did he get to that place in his life? How did you get to that place in your life? You and you and you and you and how did I get to that place in my life? There's only one answer. God. God came and changed us. God came and took out our rotten, filthy, dirty hearts that used to love the tents of wickedness. And He changed us. And He made us new. And by His grace and His Spirit's work in our hearts, He caused us to start desiring truth and righteousness. God, His people, His church, His word, His way. How did that happen? It's called sovereign grace. It's called electing love. It's called the miracle of the new birth. And my friend, this is what you need to have happen in your life here tonight. From the youngest to the oldest, I think not everyone here is a true Christian. Oh, my dear non-Christian friend, call upon God in Christ to save you. God sent Christ into the world, sinners to save. And Jesus saved sinners by dying on the cross for them, taking their sins upon Himself and being punished in our place so that we can be rectified and reconciled to God. Oh, my dear friend, become a worshiper of God this night through Christ. Trust in Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. He that believes is not condemned, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. Believe, trust in, rely upon what Christ has done in the place of sinners. And that He gave His life, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. Oh, my friends, in God's courts, when we know Him in truth, there are pleasures forevermore. God speaks to the Christian through His word. God ministers to him or her by His grace. So much so that we can say, even as we read earlier, we were glad when they said to us, "Let us go to the house of God." A dear non-Christian here this night, young person or older person, flee to Christ and become a worshiper of God. Don't stay away from the tabernacles of God. Don't stay away from His special place where those who are saved receive from God great blessings to his soul. No. You must come to God and come to Him through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Well, secondly, then, we end with this by way of application for those of us who are Christians. My dear brothers and sisters, listen, since in fact, by God's grace, we can say with the psalmist that a day in God's courts is better than 1,000, I ask you, how should we come to this place every week? How should we come? Well, friends, we should come joyfully. We should come expectantly. We should come eagerly, knowing that our God is going to be with us and He's going to bless us according to His own promise. And so I ask you, is this how you come? Do you come to this place week in and week out, eager and ready to meet with Christ and receive from His Word? I ask you, do you come with great delight in your heart to worship God with your brethren, praising Jehovah's great name? Oh, brethren, this is how we are to come. Right? Dear church, the Lord's Day is not to be a day when our heads are hung low. No. It is to be a day when we are rejoicing in our God. Rejoicing in our Jesus, rejoicing in the gospel, rejoicing that our sins are forgiven and our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, I say. It should be a glorious day. Oh, dear brethren, may it always be for us. Dear ones, since this is the place where God dwells when we gather together in His name, and since this is the place where God desires to do us the greatest good, may we always rejoice together whenever we are in this place as a body. May this place always be marked by God's great praise, for indeed a day here is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Well, let's pray and commit our time to the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, we bless You that the words of the psalmist do resonate with us deep within. We can say, O God, of a truth that this is how we feel. We do, O God. We love Your house. We love to meet, to sing Your praise. Lord, we love to hear of Jesus and His goodness, His love, His mercy, His death, His burial, His resurrection, His ascension, His present intercession at Your right hand and His coming back for His people. Oh God, these things get us excited. And we thank You. We thank You. We thank You. We thank You that all of this is because You have done a wonderful thing in our lives. Oh God, may we always cherish Your house. May we always love what You love. May we love what the psalmist loved, and may we encourage each other to walk in these things all the days of our lives. Lord, forgive us for times when we have not loved Your house as we ought. Cleanse us from such things, we pray, and help us, O God, to have a renewed love for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the special dwelling place of God by the Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' worthy name. Amen.